This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm Kim Johnson in for David Martin Davies. Rock and roll, Tejano, hip-hop, Americana, jazz, electronic, you don't have to look far to find music in San Antonio. A study commissioned by the city in 2016 aimed to answer questions about the area's music community and its economic impact. Now, the results are in, and they'll be used as a foundation for developing a strategic music plan for San Antonio. The city of San Antonio is one of multiple Texas cities seeking an official music-friendly certification from the Texas Music Office. What does it mean to be a music-friendly community, and what would the designation mean for the city? What are the cultural and economic benefits of a vibrant music community? What barriers exist for local musicians, live music patrons and venues, recording studios, record labels, and production companies? Is San Antonio serious about attracting and developing music industry growth? What needs to happen to put San Antonio music on the map? This is a community conversation, and we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, or you can email us at thesource@tpr.org or tweet at tprsource. We're joined this hour by Crystal Jones, Film Commissioner for the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture, and she's the lead for the city's music initiative. Adam Tudor is Community Outreach Manager for the San Antonio Soundgarden, a local music advocacy organization, and saxophonist for Latin band Volcan. And Hector Saldana is the Texas Music Curator for the Whitliff Collections at Texas State University. He's a former music columnist for the San Antonio Express News and founder and songwriter for the Crayolas. And welcome to The Source, all of y'all.
Hello.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
So let's start with the Texas Music Office certification. Crystal, it seems to be the impetus for the music industry study and the city's strategic music plan. So what is required to officially be considered music friendly?
Yes, well, thank you so much for having me here. And we're so excited about this designation. We've been working closely with the Texas Music Office, which is relatively under new leadership, Brendan Anthony and his team. They are fantastic, so they've really turned the office around. And one of these things is to develop a music-friendly communities program. It follows a little bit about what the film office does for the state. And what it does is it puts communities on the map for being music-friendly, but they do have to meet five criteria. So those criteria include holding a Texas Music Office workshop in your destination. The second is to identify a music liaison with the City of San Antonio, which would be myself with the Department of Arts and Culture, for any inquiries or anything that musicians or support communities in the music industry need. The third would be to register with their directory. The Texas Music Office has an extensive directory that they're working on constantly of musicians, of production companies, of venues. And so what we do is we sign an agreement with them to make sure that we are giving them information gathered from a city level, and they're in turn offering us information from their database. So it's really this, you know, two-way communication between the offices. And the third and fourth are to develop partnerships with nonprofits that are focused on music, and also develop partnerships with educational programs that are focused on music. And so where we are in that process is we've actually met all of those five criteria. We are working on a database that will go online, and once that's set, we will be looking at being designated an official music-friendly community.
Okay, and so y'all had the workshop. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so we had the workshop in November. We had about 55 participants, and that's when Brendan Anthony and his team came down and talked about what the designation means for San Antonio. And what it means is the fact that we have a presence on the Texas Music Office website, a dedicated presence. And also our data on their website is up to date and up to speed. So they are constantly going to events, conferences, meeting with businesses to talk about what is happening in the state. And since we'll be front of mind, they can speak to San Antonio's offerings to those folks.
Right.
So that happened in November. He came and spoke. And then we also did a presentation on a music study that was worked on by San Antonio Soundgarden, the findings and what it means for San Antonio.
Cool. Yeah. And we'll talk about that study later. And just asking real quickly about the directory, who compiles that?
So it'll be our office. It'll be the Department of Arts and Culture. We'll start with a baseline of what the Texas Music Office already has based on San Antonio. San Antonio Soundgarden, as a part of their industry study, collected information on venues, musicians, production companies. So we'll use that information to reach out to folks so that they can get listed. But it's us managing it, but it'll also be a place where musicians and people in the music industry can upload their own data so they can make sure it's real time with their links to their music and their offerings.
So you talked a little bit about the perks of being labeled a Music City. I know there are two others right now, Austin and
Fort Worth, actually. So Fort Worth, they did a major announcement in London with their tourism bureau. So that's another benefit of this. We're a huge tourism city. So when we have a directory where you can find local musicians, you can find talent, you can find resources. When we have meetings and conventions in San Antonio, those meetings and conventions don't need to bring talent from their cities or maybe use a list that might be outdated. They can have real-time information finding music that really fits their convention meeting to make it very San Antonio.
Very cool. And there are other cities in the running right now, right? We're not the only one trying to get this.
Denton, Dallas, they're looking into it. So those are the three top with San Antonio. So we're all pursuing this, very much so. But San Antonio definitely is at the top of the list with all five criteria met. And we're just working to make the announcement official with the office.
Very cool. And who started the conversation? Did y'all reach out to them? Did they reach out to you?
I believe it was before I came on board, to be honest. I've been on the team for about a year. So it was in October of 2016, I believe, we reached out. And it was when we found that music was very important, the city of San Antonio did. So I believe the city reached out to their office because we didn't have anyone that was speaking to them previously since there wasn't a designated person.
And they were coming down as well earlier that year in 2016. So when San Antonio Soundgarden launched, Stephen Ray came down as well. He's part of the Texas Music Office. So he came down to see what was happening and kind of he was, piqued his interest. And so by the time we began the work for the study and these conversations began rolling, he already had an idea of, San Antonio is legitimate and they're really making things happen. So that was
very cool.
In process.
And Crystal, how were you chosen to be the liaison for the music initiative?
Well, I think what's happening around the country and what I've seen with other entertainment divisions across the country is that film and music, although very different industries, there are similarities in terms of what services cities can provide those industries. So it was just a natural alignment with film and music because many offices are just entertainment divisions or music and film and entertainment. So it was just a natural alignment with what we've seen across the country.
That's going to be a lot of work for you.
Yeah, I'm excited, though. I'm a hard worker and ready to do it.
Very cool. So we have to take a quick break, but our phone lines are open. It's 210-614-8980. Are you a music industry professional or enthusiast? What do you like about San Antonio's music scene? What needs to change? Give us a call, 210-614-8980. And on the way out, we're going to take a listen to local artist Garrett T. Capps. This is his song, Born in San Antonio. It's going to be featured as the opening track on a new season of Showtime TV show Billions in March. This is The Source. We'll be back in 1 minute.
About a mover, and I was gone back home to San Antonio.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm Kim Johnson, in for David Martin Davies. You just heard ARC by San Antonio hip-hop R&B artist Amia. About 80% of professionals working in the music industry locally earn a majority of their income from other vocations, according to a recent study. And whether it's buying a record from your favorite local band or ticket to see a superstar on tour, you're supporting the city's music community. But overall, is San Antonio music friendly? What are the criteria? Why or why not? Why does it matter? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. So I want to turn now to Adam Tudor. You are the community outreach manager for the San Antonio Soundgarden, which is, as I understand it, a local music advocacy organization. Give me a little background on the organization itself.
So San Antonio Soundgarden began as a vision from our founder, Edwin Stevens, who's a local musician, sound engineer, who said, We come up against obstacles as musicians constantly, and what is one way to create a way through that obstacle? He saw that as a sound engineer through affordable recording. And so part of the vision was we need to create a space where musicians can come, record their music. We can create videos from that space. We can bring community into that space, similar to like a Tiny Desk kind of concept. And then through that, be able to build foundations for the local music industry. So that was the original idea from which it was born. And then about a year and a half ago, so March 2016, was when we began to kind of get the ball rolling with community organizing around that and saying, what is it that we need to see from our city to make things happen as a musician? What do you want? What is keeping you from being there? And something that I told people was, you know, we don't want pollution, we want solutions. And so there's been a lot of efforts to kind of move things, and people have shared their feelings. It's important to emote. But part of the success of what's happened and what led to the study was we actually came up with practical steps to get there. And so we did a lot of community organizing events. We were hosting showcases and concerts, partnerships that were going to promote the forward movement of the music industry based upon what people were telling us. It wasn't just our vision. It was the vision of the entire musical community. So
y'all partnered with the city of San Antonio to conduct this music industry study. Tell me about how that happened.
Yeah. So it was September of 2016. And Debbie Rockesitter, the director for the Department of Arts and Culture, and I sat down and we said, what can we do to work together? These are some ideas we have, and let's power forward with them. We teamed up with Centro, who was bringing in Music Canada, who played a big role in helping to kind of offer feedback for the study. Music Canada is a business out of Toronto. They have done an international study. You know, what we did was local. They did it for the entire world, essentially, and brought people from Australia and China and London and all over the place and said, what makes a music city? What the things we're talking about right now? What do we need to see from the civic sector? What do we need to see from the private sector, from the community, the fan base, all of those things? And so they came down to San Antonio, and that kind of sparked these conversations and got people excited. And from there, we gathered roundtables with the Department of Arts and Culture, and we gathered leaders from San Antonio, and we all kind of figured out these are the things that we want to move forward and discover with a study. And from there, the city granted the money. We had the money through the budget for the 2016-2017 year.
And how much was that?
$25,000 to lead the study. And so through that, we started to gather community. We said we want to have a survey that we can distribute out to the entire community. And so we distributed that throughout San Antonio. We worked with Dr. Steve Nivens of St. Mary's University, who's the chief economist for the city of San Antonio. He put together the data that you see of the $930 million impact, gathered all that from the workforce data here in San Antonio. We went out, we sent that information to the survey. While we were doing that, it was also really important to us that we have actual feedback sessions. Mm-hmm. This is where the recommendations came from. So this isn't us just toiling through things in our own mind. We gathered community members from the music industry, from professionals, just parents and teachers and music students, all of these things, and said, we're going to host them at neutral venues around San Antonio. Come be a part of this. And as that conversation developed, we just said, you know, there's no idea is a bad idea. What do you want to see for your city? And then we turn that into eventual recommendations.
And what kind of questions were on the survey that you sent out, and how did you disperse that around the city?
Right. So we had a collected database that we sent around. So venues of music leaders, people that we had put together. Texas Music Office was supportive in that as well, sending us information on how do we communicate with leaders. So we asked questions about, you know, what are the demographics of the people that come into your venues? You know, where are you located? How much are you paying bands? How do you pay bands? We're asking musicians, if you're a musician, how much of your income are you earning from music, from performance versus, you know, industry work at like a music store or teaching lessons and these kind of things. And so we garnered all that together and then put together charts and databases and graphs that said, you know, this is what we're looking at. Here are the concentrations of the recording studios. Here are the concentrations of educational programs. And we notice gaps in certain areas of our city, then we can begin to fill those based upon the recommendations.
Very cool. And I have a question via email from James. He wants to know, says their survey was only conducted on 228 people. Why was that? And I assume you sent out more requests.
Right. So we sent it out. We spent several months after the initial like outburst of emails And we spent several months kind of waiting for feedback. We used multiple channels mm-hmm. in order to distribute that. We promoted it throughout the city. We gave it to venues and promoted it at the community feedback sessions themselves. So we feel like we did our due diligence in communicating that message of, hey, it's here. If you want to express your voice, please let it be heard.
What was the timeline like for that, the whole process, from when you distributed the survey to when you collected the results?
From when we distributed the survey to when we collected the results, I believe it was 3 to 4 months.
Okay.
Was about the time limit. So we believe, you know, that through that process, a lot of people were in the knowledge, you know, in the know about it. And then we got, you know, others who didn't actually, complete the survey came to the community feedback sessions or found another way to have their voice be a part of the
study. What was average attendance at these feedback sessions that y'all held?
We had about, I would say, 40 to 50 per each one.
And it was promoted across multiple channels. And
Department of Arts and Culture promoted it. We promoted it through all of our channels at all of our events. We asked our partners to do that as well. We, printed out a lot of flyers to distribute across the city. And so we hosted at the Public Library, hosted the Guadalupe Arts Center, and then in St. Paul Square on the east side. So we tried to work within various parts mm-hmm. of the city where we know music people are located and will come out and be attracted to that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Just to mix things up a little bit, let's get a caller on the air. This is Jeanette.
Thank you for having me. My question, since San Antonio seems to be picking up the pace a little bit faster, my question is, where do we see the music industry in San Antonio in the next 3 to 5 years? And if we're taking so many months over a year to produce this information, how are we going to be able to keep up with the next 3 to 5 years to come?
Great question. San Antonio's population is expected to rise by more than 1 million by 2020. So will this data be relevant moving forward?
I believe so. So what we have a benchmark to work from. And so this is like the first study. The city has done different studies for the arts industry, but this is the first one that fully digs into the present state of what's going on with the music industry. So things are changing rapidly, the digital production, music is streaming differently, how do we support musicians? So all of that is happening at a very fast pace, and yes, things will always be changing. But what this gives us is an opportunity to say, we know for a fact that music has value. We now have the data to back that up, and we can't argue with that, regardless of if things do change over the past couple of years, which they will, and we'll adapt, and we have the work the city is doing, and we have the Music Commission and all of these things that are going to be actively engaging with these transformations. But the benchmark that we have right now, I believe, holds a good place for our music leaders, our musicians, people who care about music to say, this does have an important place in the conversation, and we need to see investment all across the board if we do want to see it succeed. I'm sure Crystal can speak to that more.
Yeah, and part of this benchmark is we actually have a music committee that's made up of 11 members, and they represent all different segments of the music industry here in San Antonio. We have education, venues, production companies, musicians, of course. And so we're working with them to use this information as a benchmark to see where do we need to go in 3 to 5 years. And we have these industry leaders sitting at the table helping to make a strategic plan that the city of San Antonio can actually use to impact what the city of San Antonio can impact. So we're looking forward to, we really spent some time making sure that we collected this data and working with the Texas Music Office too to make sure we didn't rush into a plan that may not even serve who we really needed to serve. So I think we really had some time to take a look, make sure that we're serving the folks we need to serve and the issues we need to address. And so now with the strategic plan process, we'll make sure that we're well equipped to move forward for the 3 to 5 years that we're expecting.
Cool. And I just wanted to reiterate, we want to hear from members of the community. If you're a musician or a music industry professional, or even if you just like going to shows, give us a call, 614-8980. Almost gave out my personal direct line there. 210-614 8980. And I wanted to get Hector Saldana in on the conversation. He is a curator for Texas Music for the Whitliff Collections at Texas State University. He is a former music columnist for many, many years with the San Antonio Express News and also a local musician, founder of the Crayolas. And I wanted to ask Hector, what does music friendly mean to you as a musician and someone that's been covering the scene?
Well, as someone that's, observed it and written about it for 25 years and been involved in it for more than 40 years as a musician, I think it means validation, it means hope, and probably most important, action. In other words, that something's happening. So when Adam was talking about this study, I mean, it's not only a baseline, but it shows that things are changing in their dynamic. Because I can tell you, just being involved, San Antonio has always been dynamic musically. There's always been great music produced here. And so, but it needs to be refreshed ideas. So when I see thoughts about these kind of, this kind of plan, I think it makes musicians excited and is a positive.
Absolutely. And Adam, I wanted to talk a little bit about the results. What were your big takeaways from the study that y'all did, the music industry study with San Antonio Soundgarden?
So something that, that we noticed, which you mentioned earlier, Kim, is the fact that San Antonio's musicians are currently existing in a diminished economy. So the fact that 80% of our musicians are earning 80% of their income not performing makes it really challenging to do your job when you have to be spending 80% of your creative energy working at coffee shops and working day jobs, and some people are teachers and they do lessons and these kind of things. All of that is valuable and important, but we feel proud of our musicians and our music industry. Given that fact, I feel like we're still doing pretty good considering that situation. Imagine if we had the type of investment that could come from anywhere, thinking a lot about private sector, and now that they see the value that music has for our city, maybe there'll be some more investment in our music industry. If we change that number to only 50% of musicians are earning 50% of their income instead of 80 and 80, imagine what that can do to stimulate our creative, you know, our creative, our cultural capital, all of those things for our city. So that was a big thing. Another thing that came through in the study a lot with the, we did interviews with leaders, Libby Day, Aaron Zimmerman, Damian Rodriguez, other people in San Antonio who are representing various sectors. All these people said, we need more education for growing the music pipeline, educational pipeline for music in San Antonio. If we can see that right now there's a dearth of public school programs, a lot of things are being taken up by nonprofits, by the private sector, charter schools, these kind of things. So what can we do in the public schools to create these transparent guidelines throughout, you know, from elementary all the way through college? UTSA is doing a great job. We work with them on the study a lot. Musicians of Business, Dr. Stan Renard, they're doing a lot of things out there to really say, there's some practical steps you can take to make it in the music industry. You don't just have to be a musician. Look at all these jobs that we have. How can we start to train people at an earlier age to begin to be a part of those jobs? And it's, I can imagine if I was, 13 years old, if someone had come in and told me all the possibilities that I could have in the music industry, that would have inspired me and I would have been ready a lot faster than I was. And so those are some big things.
Very cool. And just in the last 30 seconds we have, I wanted to ask, when did you first get involved in music, Adam and Hector?
I started when I was 13 as a saxophonist.
Oh, really?
About the same age, my dad got me a guitar when I was about 6, and it was too big. I didn't know what it was. And then I picked it up for real around 11 and then started playing in nightclubs when I was 17 in 1975.
Wow, that's impressive. Really impressive. Okay, so I want to know from our listeners, do you have a favorite San Antonio band? What's your favorite place to see live music and why? Do you think festivals like Mala Luna, Maverick Music Fest, and the soon-to-debut Botanica Fest could put San Antonio on the map? We have to take another quick break. Our phone lines are open. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. This is The Grasshopper Lies Heavy with their new track, Crocodile Tears. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm Kim Johnson, and for David Martin Davies. You just heard Fruteria by the Crayolas, a San Antonio band founded in the 70s by one of our guests, Hector Saldana. The city of San Antonio is one of four Texas cities currently seeking a music-friendly community certification from the Texas Music Office. Denton, Dallas, and Lubbock are also working through the process. Fort Worth and Austin have already received the official designation. Does San Antonio have what it takes? What does it take, and why does it matter? We're talking this hour about music in San Antonio, its history, strengths, issues, and potential impact. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. That's 210-614-8980. Do you see the value in investing in the city's music community? 210-614-8980. And let's get a caller on the air right now. This is Ben. Hi, Ben. How are you?
Hi, doing well.
Okay, go ahead with your question.
And yes, I love evidence-based practice and the fact that you guys are using data to go ahead and solve some of the community's problems. Because we've just noticed a trend in Steve Nineveh's reports or economic impact reports showing that San Antonio has been losing around $100 million a year going back to 2011. And this most recent report shows an acceleration in that trend. And so ensuring that we are solving some of these problems and local artists feel it, I'm wondering what's built into the strategic plan or some of the bullet points that you can tell us that you believe artists will feel a change in San Antonio or just something more beneficial in this environment to move here, to want to work here.
Very cool, Ben. And I think that the process is still happening right now, yeah?
That's correct, yes. With the 11-member music committee, we're developing the strategic plan, so those bullet points will come at a later time. But some of the things that we have discussed, even with the Soundgarden meetings and then also with the committee, are even things just as simple as loading and unloading zones, fair wages for musicians performing at venues, making sure contracts are in place and educating musicians and venues about why there's an importance of having a contract. Just some of the low-hanging fruit that the city can step in and make some practical changes. Those are just some of the very easy low-hanging fruit that I would anticipate would come out of this process that's still happening right now.
Very cool. And I should say this is Crystal Jones, Film Commissioner for the City of San Antonio's Department of Arts and Culture, and she's also leading the city's music initiative. And I want to go back to the results from the study and talk with everyone about venues, music venues in San Antonio. What did you find, Adam, in the study that is worth noting?
So something, and this is not going to be a surprise to a lot of musicians who have played around the circuit, but now we have the data to back it up, is that San Antonio, while we have a lot of kind of entry-level venues for people to play that are anywhere between 100 and 500, and then we have a few, you know, like really large venues for your out of town and like radio, big radio friendly artists and bands, there's a gap in between those two levels. So between like 500 and 2,000. People say, you know, when I pack out Sam's and I sell Sam's, then what's next? You know, what's next is like Freeman or something
yeah.
like that, you know,
and
that's a big leap for people. So that's something that was addressed by one of our one of our contributors, one of his testimonies was that, you know, I really want to see musicians stick around in San Antonio in that middle bracket because then they feel like they have to go on tour, go to Austin, have to go to different places to get to that next level. And that's where maybe we lose that next echelon of talent.
Okay, so size, I know location was
size,
also a thing.
Location was a big thing as well. So we, you know, District 1 is downtown in that midtown area where the Pearl is. And so that's, you know, obviously a big place for live music. The East Side is becoming, so District 2 as well is becoming a popular place. And we also know now that, you know, around UTSA, so this is District 9 and 10, there's starting to become more music venues based upon the population, you know, Botanica, you mm-hmm. know, being an example of that, you know, happening at Fiesta Texas soon, the big music festival. And so there's definitely a gap, though, in like the south side of San Antonio, certain parts of the north side, where it's more family oriented. And so that also contributes to there's not a lot of music businesses, music lessons, all mm-hmm. these kind of things. So the lack of venues means the lack of those things as well, which doesn't really inspire that music community.
The third thing that caught my eye was the age issue.
The age issue is really big as well. There's a few all-age venues in San Antonio, and the one that I know that's really popular for people is Imagine Books and Records,
mm-hmm.
but it's way out there for a lot of people. And so it takes a certain community to get you out there. And so to have a venue, there's a lot of, this would be a whole other conversation, there's a lot of issues
absolutely.
Around that to make it friendly for an entire audience. But that's where I think doing more with our downtown spaces. Mm-hmm. So we have the downtown to performer policy where we can have musicians down there all the time in the parks during certain hours with no amplification. This is something the Center City Development worked on. And so we can have musicians anytime downtown performing. And that can be a part of the way that, you know, that families, you know, participate in that. So
very cool. Yeah. I know, Hector, you wanted to comment on some venue related stuff.
A couple of things. I mean, to Adam's point, though, one of the realities of being a musician and outgrowing a venue and even sometimes outgrowing a town is that you do have to go on tour. I mean, I remember that was true in the 70s, it's true in the 80s. I think you can't get around that. I mean, whether, you know, Nashville or Austin are perceived as very music-friendly places, those musicians have to travel quite a bit. With regard to the venue situation, I mean, you have the Rustic moving in that, you know, it's a bit bigger. It's the Aztec would be some place you would go if you outgrew Sam's, you know, that means you're selling tickets. I would say, you know, one of the things too is getting the word out about what a great footprint San Antonio actually does have, besides, you know, the nightclubs along St. Mary's Strip or in the Pearl or wherever. But, you know, downtown, the theaters, you know, it's been bandied about for decades, you know, this idea of either a music festival or these ideas. But you really do have the venues there with Majestic, Alameda, the Tobin, you know, the Aztec, even Sunken Empire Garden, Empire, you know, there's
options.
It's there. Options are there.
Just getting access to those spaces.
Access and maybe sometimes getting the word out about that.
Mm-hmm. And bands have to be active in that as well, you know, so
reaching
it's not
out.
Just the responsibility of the venues. You know, you have to be very active and say, you know, like, this is what I'm going to do to sell tickets. This is how I'm going to help you promote. You're planning ahead, months ahead, you know, like a lot of times you're like pushing on the door of somewhere, St. Mary's, and saying, hey, I want to play 2 weeks from now. Okay, maybe it'll work. But if you're doing Empire or something like this, this is months and months ahead of time, you know, so they're very open to, you know, Emily Smith at the Empire has been very open to doing local projects and shows. You give me the date, you give me the bands, you help me do all this work, we can make it happen, you know. So we're open, they're open.
I'll never forget, I saw Pinata Protest play there at Empire
a few
years ago. Oh my gosh, it was the
rowdiest. It feels amazing to see your local artists there, you know.
Yeah, it was, in that special space, absolutely.
Totally.
I do want to get a caller on the air. This is Joshua. Hey Joshua, you're on The Source.
Hi, I play in a local act here in San Antonio called Jungle Noise, and I just had a general question about the music scene here in San Antonio and why a lot of contemporary acts who, you know, my generation, the 20 to 30-year-olds right now are listening to, and all those acts are just passing right over San Antonio. Like, why is it that things are successful like day for night, things that are very risky, and they have the top-of-the-tier acts over there? And we can, I don't think a Botanica or a Maverick will change the way people perceive music and are attracted to music in San Antonio. I think it's just something embedded in the culture, and was wondering what you guys' opinion was on, you know, things like Day for Night versus Botanica and Maverick. And
very cool. Okay, so, I mean, Botanica, we know this is their first year, so we don't know, right, how that's going to do yet. I did see it was changed from a two-day to a one-day, but then they also added Six Flags rides to that, so that's pretty cool. Maverick is always really great. It's kind of outgrown La Vita, in my opinion. What do y'all think about festivals, the festival culture here in San Antonio?
I think it just kind of depends. I mean, you know, Maverick, in a sense, wants to outgrow La Vita, but, you know, they've going to the caller's question, you know, some of the programming of it has been to appeal to an older audience, you know, so there's always a balance, I think, in this conversation has to get thrown in there, is the commercial aspect of the music business, whether it's a nightclub or a festival or a venue. You know, Paper Tiger brings in touring acts, a wide mix, Limelight to a certain extent, you know, 502. I mean, you'll get that happening, but, you know, they've got to get people into those seats willing to pay, you know, sometimes. And so
San Antonio doesn't have a great track record of buying tickets ahead of time either.
No, it's a walk-up town, you know.
Something better might come along, right? But I do think Paper Tiger, that's a good point, that they are sort of filling that mid-level. You know, they're not bringing the AC/DCs, but they are bringing someone potentially, you know, Built to Spill, someone mid-level like that, maybe even St. Vincent, that level of things that our generation are listening to. And to that point, they're also the only all-ages venue on the St. Mary's Strip that I can think of right now.
And I want to say something as well to the fact of, you know, why are these people passing us by? I think, and Crystal, I know, can speak to this as well, because she used to work with the Visitors Bureau, is how does San Antonio market itself as a music industry? This is part of what we found in the study, was people wanted to find a consistent message. There needs to be consensus on how we're promoting our city. And if we, you know, like, Austin isn't the music capital of the world. They just claim themselves to be, you know, they're doing awesome things. This is not a diss at Austin at all. This is just to say that they made a very smart decision to say, we're going to market ourselves as this, and then we're going to work to live up to that. And San Antonio needs to find a consistent message around that, because right now people may see them as a family-oriented place. And so how do we gauge that?
But let me just add, too, one thing, Adam. Quickly, there at the Express News, I mean, we used to do surveys of our own and monitor some of these perceptions, you know. But when you really look at the touring acts, you got some of the biggest names coming to San Antonio consistently and a lot. I mean, I was at Katy Perry last week, and
but it's still part of the music economy.
Admit it. No, but I mean, it was fun. Well, yes, it is. I mean, it has to be a balance. I mean, it can't just all be entry level acts or only indie acts. You have to include, you know, country, hip hop, and
a mix.
That goes into the perception of the city.
Absolutely. So we got one more segment after this break. Call quick if you want to get your question or comment on air. 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Here's San Antonio electronic artist Ernest Gonzalez with While on Saturn's Rings. This is The Source. We'll be back in 1 minute. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm Kim Johnson, in for David Martin Davies. You just heard Black Tongue by San Antonio electronic group Femina X. They were recently featured in a Texas Monthly article called There's More Than Mariachi on the Riverwalk. San Antonio's music industry contributed an estimated $930 million to the local economy in 2015, according to a recent study mandated by the city of San Antonio. What initiatives are being developed to help grow San Antonio's music industry? We're talking about the city's efforts to come up with a strategic plan. What programs and policies can be implemented to grow San Antonio's music community and economy? We got just a few minutes left, but give us a call quick, 210-614-8980. And I wanted to continue, we didn't really even start talking about it yet. We're already running out of time. But the recommendations from this plan, they're based on Music Canada's the recommendations are based on Music Canada's national way to create a successful music city. And I saw in the study that y'all did, you sort of based your recommendations on these. Can you just sort of hit those for me real quick?
So we wanted, our most important thing for us was that we made sure that we saw things from each perspective. So there's one that talks about the nature of downtown music and the audience. There's one that talks about the educational pipeline. There's one that talks about marketing. And so our goal, as we made the recommendations, was to make sure that we didn't just focus on we need more of this kind of venue and make all recommendations about venues. Mm-hmm. But so we tried to cast a wide net in that process and really take what was given to us through the community feedback sessions. So again, this was something that was done in a very diplomatic and democratic way to field everyone's question. We had the big old post-it notes up on the wall and then kind of consolidate all that and then push that into something that became these recommendations. And I'll let Crystal kind of speak to the vision of the music committee and the way they're working towards that.
Yes, so the music committee, which again, 11 members based on different expertises across the music industry, are coming together to develop a strategic plan that the city of San Antonio and specifically the Department of Arts and Culture can manage and implement to make the difference that the city of San Antonio can make through policies that help musicians.
So that's the first thing on the list, right? Music and musician-friendly policies. And
yes.
Give me some examples of those that other cities have implemented.
Well, it would be like parking, like loading and unloading zones, but even things that we've seen in other cities, which is why the Texas Music Office designation is so important. We can communicate with other cities who have went through this process and learn from the opportunities they've had, but also maybe some missteps. So if you think about what's happening in Austin with venues that have been there for a long time and then development moves in and says, well, this is too loud. Doing some policies that may protect our music venues so that when our city and as it grows, as it's, we all know is growing significantly, that the music venues can be protected when development does move in.
Agent of change sort of stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So some of those things would be an example of those policies that we can implement.
Okay. I do want to – we have our phone lines are almost full now, of course. Let's go to Frank. Frank, you're on the air.
Hey. I was just thinking that, you know, like Austin has South by Southwest that puts them on the map. It'd be nice to have something like this as a start, like during Fiesta, I have a Euro type of a street party with DJs playing some EDM music, you know, during that event, and hopefully several other times during the year as a start.
Oh, I think we lost him, but he has a great point. So how do we implement music in San Antonio's culture and our big festivities?
It can't be during fiesta time.
I stay home during fiesta.
No, but I mean, I've seen some big acts, sometimes big shows, little shows, try to go up against fiesta. That's its own thing, you know? So shows have been successful maybe a little bit before or after, but I mean, I love the idea and I love DJs. So maybe getting DJs in fiesta, but competing it or trying to muddy the waters there is very difficult in San Antonio.
So I want to go to a little bit toward more of the cultural value of music in our community. So you're cited as being a leading expert on San Antonio's conjunto, Tex-Mex,
okay,
Chicano.
Yeah.
So what's the value of these and other genres, all genres of local music, in preserving our local culture and history?
Well, I think, like, say, for example, you fly into Nashville or you go down Music Row, you know, you have a certain idea of what you wanted to see. I always thought, and this is just an opinion, you know, that when Sunset Station first came in, you know, when they first came in, it would have been great if you could have come into San Antonio, come downtown, if you're just a tourist, and seen someone like Flaco Jimenez, you know, a lifetime Grammy winner, or Johnny Bush, mm-hmm. you know, and hear, you know, Whiskey River. In other words, get a quick sense, you know, again, a little bit superficial, but at least get a flavor of San Antonio.
Absolutely.
And I could find it all the time. I have sometimes people come, you know, that love music will ask me, well, where do I find it? I'm like, well, music is everywhere in San Antonio. I mean, I've, you know, from all kinds, but it's, again, I don't know if that's partly perception or that, again, that commerce part, because I know, like, where the Aztec Theater was before, Rick Drury, who has Drury Hotel, tried a country music review there. San Antonio Rose, I believe it was called. And, well, it's not around anymore, so I don't know if that's exactly what the public wanted.
Yeah. So let's get another, I think it's probably our last caller on the air. This is Dave. Hi, Dave. You're on The Source.
Hi. Yeah, I think that part of San Antonio's problem with the music scene is the lack of radio stations that play independent music. When I first moved to San Antonio, I have an extensive record collection, and I would show my collection to some people, and they would say, like, well, who is this band, and who is this band? And I was thinking, you have to be kidding me. You've never heard of these people? And San Antonio does have, you know, of course, radio stations, but they all seem to play, like, the mainstream country, the mainstream rock, classic rock, and that type of music, where they don't really dig into the music that I think the independents would like to have, like to hear their music played.
Great point, Dave. I know that 103.3, the app, was around for a little bit. They incorporated some local music in their regular independent artist formatting. We also have KRTU. Shout out to Live and Local.
KSYM
is fantastic. Do you think that's enough, Crystal?
Well, I think that one thing, I mean, when you're talking about that, some people might not know about those radio stations. So that's where we can come in and work with the Tourism Bureau, but also even have a music page on the Department of Arts and Culture's website to show you where are these music venues, where are these music stations, where when you arrive in San Antonio or when you live here, you can hear music that's here and made in San Antonio. So I think some people, in my opinion, they may not know those radio stations even exist, because when you're sifting through, you just hit those key ones.
Just opening up access to those.
Absolutely. I think a lot of awareness is where we'll be moving forward in this initiative.
And I think as well, just to add on to that real quick, is that a lot of artists, I don't think, are pursuing radio the way that they used to, because they see that people are going into their car and they're putting on Spotify to find their favorite playlist and these kind of things. So I think there's more to the equation than just producing more radio stations. I think we're also just adapting to the nature of the industry. So
one of the other things on the list of recommendations is audience development. And how does that happen? Marketing?
Yes, that's definitely a huge portion of it, is marketing and promotions. Not only working with our Visitors Bureau, but also working with local media to really let people know what music offerings we have. When you have an event that's made by a local and put on by a local, here's your local musician. So that's definitely a huge portion of it, and one thing that the committee will be looking at in developing a strategic plan, and one thing that we'll be looking at implementing.
So that, as opposed to music tourism. So audience development, you're talking about local residents, as opposed to music tourism, where you're trying to bring people here?
It would be both. I mean, because when you talk about audience development, it's really a mixture of visitors and locals. So it's getting local to really appreciate what we have, and in turn they can, you know, speak to visitors. So I think audience development really is across the board.
Awesome. So we don't have that much time left. I do want to talk about what's going to happen moving forward. So what's the timeline like? What happens next?
We're currently slated to bring a music strategic plan to City Council in June. So we are hitting the ground running with the music committee to develop the strategic plan. And as a part of that, there will be opportunities for the community to speak about, you know, what we've developed and draft phases. And those opportunities will be announced by the Department of Arts and Culture. So we, if you go to getcreativesanantonio.com, you can find it there. Follow us on social media, and we have a newsletter that you can sign up for. But June is when we're slated to bring this to City Council.
And if that's approved by City Council, what happens?
Then the development of a music initiative and office is created in the Department of Arts and Culture, and we start executing the strategic plan that City Council approved.
Okay. And will it be a music office and officer, or one or the other?
It'll basically be like we have the Film Commission. It'll be the Film and Music Commission. So it'll be two different commissions, basically a division of the Department of Arts and Culture. So not an actual, you know, the physical office still remains what it is today, but it would just be, you know, Crystal Jones would be your music and film liaison for the City of San Antonio.
And y'all are going to have meetings that will be open to the public?
Yes, we're planning for the strategic plan, and those will come after we've started to develop that.
Okay. So I wanted to ask, it's sort of silly, but what's your favorite, I want to go around the table, what's your favorite local band and favorite music venue?
I love Volcan.
I love the
protest. Fea. I love them. Girl in a Coma. So many great bands. I personally like Luna and The Mix and Paper Tiger. But Luna for its consistency, friendliness. The Mix, Blaine Tucker over there, very forward-thinking owner. Paper Tiger, it's Mix. Those, I named that.
Luna's a gem. I feel like a lot of people don't know about that place either.
Yes.
Crystal?
Well, I would like to say I'd like to remain equal across the as the music liaison. I'd like to say that I don't have any favorites.
Safe.
So I would like to play that one safe. But I am definitely...
What was the last show you saw?
The last show I saw would have been at Frank. It was a hip-hop showcase.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Adam, you can't say your own band.
Yeah, right. The Crayolas. I'm going to give it back to Hector. for sure. I'm a big fan of my buddy Ray Dieter leads a band called Ranch House, which is I've been a big fan of them. They always put on an amazing show, and I've been a big fan of Carmen Zella Calle downtown on North Flores for a long time, and so they continue to bring a lot of multicultural and world music to the fray. So,
and can I just add also Rachel Lavin and Garrett Capps?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, one thing, just thinking about what the city can do is get word out that great music is being made and should get placed
all
somewhere.
Genres, yeah. Something for everybody. I want to thank our guest today. We've had Crystal Jones. She's the film commissioner for the City of San Antonio's Department of Arts and Culture, and she's leading the efforts for the city's music initiative. Adam Tudor is community outreach manager for the San Antonio Soundgarden and a saxophonist for Latin band Volcan. Hector Saldana is a curator for Texas music at Texas State University's Whitliff Collections and also founder of the Crayolas. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm Kim Johnson and for David Martin Davies, and this is Volcan. Thanks for tuning in. Cinturón encantadora, buscando envenenar. Vueltas, vueltas.